This is a new study out of Montreal that suggests daily cannabis consumption by adolescents and teens. God, I just shudder at the thought that adolescents are using it on a daily basis. Teens, not even halfway relieved to hear that, but that it leads to permanent brain damage. You never get them to believe it, but it does in rats, according to this study, right?
Yeah, this is a study published in the journal Neurobiology of Disease, and they were looking, it was a small study in 18 rats, and what they wanted to see is what the effect was of daily cannabis use on brain function, specifically several receptors in the brain that are, or several neurotransmitters in the brain that are associated with mood and development. And these are serotonin and noradrenaline. And what they did find in these rats that were exposed during what, in terms of human years, teen years or adolescence, is that these rats had decreased levels of serotonin, which affects mood, and also they had higher levels of norepinephrine, which is another neurotransmitter, which can make one more susceptible to long-term stress, and they had higher levels of norepinephrine. So they found that even if they stopped this administration of cannabis to the rats, the damage that was done to the brain seemed to carry forward through adulthood. Now, again, we're dealing with a rat model, but what is interesting, Steve, in terms of looking at this is what we do know. And without being alarmist, we do know that there is person-to-person variability, that there are different susceptibilities. I had a discussion with a very well-respected psychiatrist in Ottawa recently regarding a patient who was not responding to, who had a history of depression, who was not responding very well to antidepressants. No matter what you use, it didn't seem to work. And I sent this patient to him, and he inquired as well about cannabis use, and he did say that he was using it. And what is interesting is what we do know how it affects the brain in certain respects with using antidepressants, and that it does affect serotonin and it does affect norepinephrine, so that the medications that you're trying to use to actually increase serotonin levels don't work. It actually downregulates, means turns off some of the receptors that are responsive to serotonin, and as a result, you're not going to see any effectiveness of the medication being used. So what this does tell us is that there are certain individuals that do have that are affected in certainly more than others, and as well, if there's a family history of depression or mood disorders, there is likely a mechanism that exists in those people that makes them much more susceptible to a trigger that could lead to their depression. So in this way, I think we have to keep it in perspective, but it certainly opens up an avenue to understand what some of these mechanisms are, because it does affect the brain. And as well, now they're going to start looking at people, because you have to have a human model as well, to see if this holds true. But nevertheless, it does open an avenue of understanding so that people can be aware that you're not just doing nothing when you are using it.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, Steve.